everybody. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrar. That's Rob, the Hammer Hammerschmidt. And
what up?
We are on episode 186.
That's right, man. We're getting deep cuts now.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of that lull in the season. You know, while we have the Pacific Nations Cup going on, you know, for North American rugby, we're after WPL or now WER championships. Mm-hmm. You know, we got our last international match against Tonga until November internationals, right? Which I think we're going to Europe.
And you know what? I haven't looked too deep into that myself. Yeah. So I gotta.
The next set of internationals technically is the women's W15-1 series where we're playing we're kicking off with the Red Roses. But on the men's side, I believe we're playing Portugal or somewhere else in Europe. I can't remember off the top of my head. But we're kind of in that lull period, right? You know, post MLR, a lot of coaching changes have come up. You know, a lot of things have changed, but. It's one of those things where we're just going to kind of be talking about internationals, talk about, you know, what we want to talk about and kind of guide our way there. Right, Rob?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, there's a lot of club stuff going on. Hopefully we can talk a bit about some of the club elements that are happening around the United States. I know I'm pretty close to things that are happening in the Midwest where the St. Louis Bombers are kicking ass and taking names. It looks like they're going to really make another run at the national championship this year, but it's too early to tell. Who knows what happens, but they do have a nice lineup and they've been playing well the last couple of weeks. That being said, I know there's that there's a lot of good rugby happening on the West Coast right now. Collegiate rugby is playing well. We'll talk a little bit about that. Yeah. So there's always rugby going on in the calendar. That's the beautiful thing about the game is it's not like it really ever shuts down. It just, you know, keeps churning over. It's a matter of where you're looking and what you're paying attention to. And, of course, premiership starts, so that can satiate anybody's interest in high-level rugby that's going on. Of course, the Rugby Networker carries that, and that's a beautiful thing.
And talking about high-level rugby, we're going with Around the Pitch. Hammer, you're up.
Yeah, as everybody knows, or most people know, I'm an educator and a teacher by trade, and therefore I tend to talk a lot, but I'll try to keep this one short. Legacy Cup, the first iteration of women's elite rugby, took place last weekend in Greensboro, North Carolina. I don't think it got enough press. It needed more. The Grey Wolves play the All Blues, the Grey Wolves being from Colorado, the All Blues hailing from San Francisco area. And congratulations to the Great Wolves, who were crowned champions, 31-27, very tight match. And I just want to make mention of Tana Wolfley. She has won her second national championship with the Great Wolves. One is a Legacy Cup, the other one a WPL championship. And she is only a senior in high school. And it's funny, I reached out to Jason Skogram and said, hey, because she played for him in the era for 11 mm-hmm. years. So by my counting, she started playing when she was 6. And I said, is that by chance somebody that's related to Link Wolfley, the former U.S. Eagle, played in 2003 World Cup, a utility back? And he said, as a matter of fact, it is. So it's his daughters, which I thought was awesome. And so I think what we're starting to see, and we'll see the Lyles coming through and some of those other young kids that were products of that first wave or generation of Eagles that really showed out on the world stage. So hopefully this is the first
more, the more, congratulations the kids, the more professional sides, you know?
Right. And, you know, again, we're starting to see that maturity of those kids that started playing when they were 4, 5, and 6 years old. Like we've always talked about what happens in South Africa, New Zealand, or the UK.
Absolutely. And our girl Wendy Young was on the broadcast with Fedra Knight, and I forgot who their third broadcaster partner was. So excuse me for that, ladies. But, you know, Wendy, if you haven't seen her stuff, you should have, because I constantly steal it. Not that I steal it. I repost it with all of her things and all of her tags and all of her stuff, because she puts out content daily, specifically her weekend roundup. And that's something that I post on our socials. So if you're not following your Scrum Half Connections, at least be following us So that way you can see what she's doing and what the deal is with women's rugby going on currently, you know? Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that we are lucky to have somebody like Wendy who we can rely on to
lean into, rely on,
you know, and really just put it out there, the information out there, right? And that's really mm-hmm. what we need to do.
Yep, 100%. In the absence of legitimate, you know, or not legitimate, but in the absence of traditional media platforms, she certainly does a tremendous service to the women's side of the game, and we love her for them.
So I'm going a little bit different, as you guys probably already know. I'm a little bit different.
We know that.
We're putting the rugby football club, we're putting the football in rugby. And we're recording this Monday
night. You're not a NOLA commentator?
Don't even get me started. Don't get me wrong. There's a way to communicate that through a football style similarity, but I think sometimes they don't do it to the best of their ability. I feel like I could do that way better. Sometimes they're doing it on the fly though, so you know it is what it is. So if anybody's a Tennessee Titans fan, rookie quarterback Will, quarterback Will Levis, you know, he started at Penn State, finished at Kentucky, you know, began the season, you know, decently last year. I think he played 9 games. They were 3-6 under him. He was playing yesterday against, I believe, the Jets. And
J-E-T-S?
We're going to show you the clip here. And then I'm going to ask Rob a question, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. And I might show the clip a couple times. So we'll take a look here, and you'll see that he takes the snap number 8. He kind of rolls to the left, and he kind of gives a nice little pitch over to his running back. Now, unfortunately, it is a fumble. We'll watch that again. You'll see he's set back in the pocket. He makes a break left. And the style of pitch he does is reminiscent of what we see in rugby from a scrum half, right, Rob? So my question to you, and I'm gonna put the question out there, and you know, maybe we should ask Scott Lawrence. This is a serious question with Moonshot 2031, right? We prep for 2031 with 2027 in Australia. Will Levis be ready to wear that number 9 for USA Rugby in 2027?
Are you asking me?
No athlete. He played 2 years at Penn State, so he had to watch some rugby.
Yeah, he's a hell of an athlete, but. And boy, his delivery is really out. Something left to be desired. I don't imagine Luke Carty or Chris Mattina or anybody else for that matter is going to be in any shape to get that ball off the deck. So I'm not counting my chickens. We'll stick
all
with –
All I'm saying is
– I'd like to see little Bucks or McVay get out there at some point. All I'm saying is
6'4", 229 pounds according to the stat sheet there. He's 25 years old now. That's 28 in 3 years. Caleb Geiger squeaked out as a prop in less time than that. You don't think Will Levis could have a shot if he moves over? Because let's be honest, his career with the Titans ain't looking good. He needs to be moving on. NFL ain't going to be calling. So let's watch it again. NFL ain't calling. Look, right here. And to be honest, his running back fumbles the ball. It was right to his hands. I've seen lower passes from scrum halves before. I've seen worse passes from United States Eagles scrum halves before. You know?
Well, I can't say that. I could only speak to maybe some D3 college, D4 college scrum halves. But no, not a chance. Not at 6'4", 230 pounds. Put him at, I don't know, maybe put him at center, put him at wing, but not scrum half.
But in actual news, so my one of my friends, Jay, his son, plays actually hooker for New Paul's Rugby. And it's funny. He was a back, he was a wing and a center. I forgot what school he went to. He transfers to New Paul's, and you know, they don't have a lot of guys on the team with a lot of
rugby experience.
You know, there are a lot of, as a matter of fact, every time one of our Rugby 101 articles is coming out, apparently they're talking with the new guys about it. So one of the positions, you know, so they were talking to him about flanker. And he ended up actually playing hooker because he's been playing rugby now for 2 years. So he has a lot of experience, and he's a bigger dude. He's more of an Ed Fidow wing than like a Nate Osberger wing. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So he can play in the middle. It's not the
more the thunder than the lightning.
Yeah, it's not that's not the issue. And you know, next man up and wherever he needs to play. But unfortunately, they were playing Hofstra this weekend. And the game had to be called, ended in a tie 12-12 because one of the New Paul players broke his femur. He was on the deck for about 60 minutes before the ambulance felt safe enough to move him and carry him. He's in good spirits. He's going to be okay. You know, his surgery today went well and everything like that. But guys, make sure you're sipped up. Make sure you have your insurance. Make sure your club is checking those sips and everybody is safe and healthy. And, you know, we talk about a lot about player safety at the MLR level and the professional level, the international level. The discussion also needs to be had at the club level and the collegiate level, guys. So make sure you're sipped up, make sure you're not past due because those injuries can happen.
Yeah. 100%. And if you can try to get some kind of medical attention on field, and ready to go should there be an injury. That's always the way to go. You never want to put somebody
in this case the ambulance was already
sounds
there.
Like they were there. It sounds it, like somebody just, was they on were the just, spot. They just were, had to they stabilize were, yeah, they him before they got him.
Exactly. They wanted to make sure he was
got
stable.
Move. I gotcha.
Move and that they didn't need it and that, you know, extra pairs of hands and things like that. Because back in the day, you were going to Rudy Rudiger's truck at both sides. You have two guys knocked out from each team. You're going to Rudy's bed. And we used to pay for an ambulance to every match. And they never fucking showed up.
Oh, really?
Yes. I would get so mad. I was the treasurer and the VP. And I
mean, they got lost at the bar on the way to the pitch.
Yeah. Well, then after the first season of paying them and then not showing up for eight matches, I just stopped paying them at that point. Luckily, we had a nursing program, knock on wood. So if you did get stitches, I don't remember. I got stitches. We would use dental floss, menthol dental floss. You know, the mint dental floss was the best, according to the nursing students, and a fishing hook.
And that there you go. So when you get to the bar, if you're meeting with a nice lassie, then and you have to talk with something stuck in your teeth, then, you know, serve double duty.
Yeah, just but seriously, folks, we had some rugby. We had some rugby played Pacific Nations Cup. We played Fiji in Japan.
Yeah.
I think it's Prince Chichibu Memorial Stadium. Excuse me. Saturday. It was a 6:05 Eastern kickoff. Not bad for the big guy. I'm up with the baby at 5. So, you know, it was a good one. The next match, unfortunately, I think kicks off at like 3 in the morning. I will not be watching that. That will definitely be a replay. I will not be watching live against Tonga. But we were going to be talking
maybe
about
for
that.
The hammer.
Yeah, that we're going to be talking about that as our rant. So give us a minute and we'll be right back. See, the hammer's an hour behind, so he's just going to stay out late drinking with Preston and Jackson.
You know, come
on. Mrs. Hammer's going to be nice, soundly asleep.
Preston will be in town, but he will be prepping for a Lions match. So, unfortunately, he will not be couchside with me to take in this wonderful match that will be coming up this weekend. But I will probably be watching it in real time.
What's that? Like, you guys prep way differently than we prep because we prep like this.
Well, I suppose that's the difference when, you know, you're playing D1 men's club and everything else. Cause you know, I knew some D2 guys that prep the same way back in the day.
But yeah, we're talking about the Eagles lost to Fiji 22-3. Our boy Chris Mattino with the only points for Team USA. Real nice quick. Yeah. Listen, local time was 7:05.
Yeah.
Partly cloudy, but here's the humidity index was 95% humidity there. You know, that's a big deal. Winds 20 to 35 miles an hour gusting. And you know, when we looked at the lineup there, right? We're looking at where are we playing people? Chris Mattina at 10 and then Toby Fricker coming in for his first cap for USA. You know, he's capped, I think he's Welsh, right?
Wales. Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like he doesn't have experience. but you know, first cap for the Eagles, but you think that's a lot of leg, you know, plus Ruben DeHaas is starting, right? Mm-hmm. So you got Ruben DeHaas, Chris Mattina, Toby Fricker in the spine there. That's a lot of leg. And then you look at the conditions and you go, frig, 95% humidity right when the sun goes down, which we talk about that at Houston and Dallas all the time, right? They have those afternoon games and that second half comes over, the ball gets super slippery. And then you have gusting winds of 20 to 35 miles an hour. Like, I don't know, you know, we don't know what the strategy was, but to us looking at who was put out there to start, we felt, and it wasn't just Rob, Rick, Matt Cartwright, Dan Henry, all of our friends that have been on the show before, all kind of were like, we feel like they're going to be kicking and trying to have a really good kick chase. And I don't think or help them out with that strategy, Rob.
Well, early on, I figured that was a strategy that was going to be going on. And we talked about it before the game. We kind of said the strategy's got to be kick a lot. If you can create the pressure with your wings on Fiji, perhaps you can prevent them from really opening up and create that dynamic interplay that they have between the hands and really in their support play. And really, I think we saw that for the most part throughout the game, that Fiji didn't get into the Fiji mode too often. USA was able to put some solid defensive pressure on them throughout the game. There were a few moments when Fiji was able to open it up, but really and truly, there was that one try close to line with the pick and go off of a pressure from the scrum, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. It was our own scrum inside the five, and they were really able to put some pressure on us, and they put some pressure off us on a kick chase that we had to recover, and then we regathered, but they just created a lot of pressure at the ruck. So, you know, I think they only had really had one try that represented that ball through the hand style that we knew, you know, an open play that we know Fiji likes to play.
Was that that first one that was
frozen, or am I frozen?
And the play we were talking about with that little technical difficulty, it's not a Rugby Rant show without technical difficulties, is that first try in the second half. Mm-hmm. I believe that was Kanakai Vada's second. Toby Fricker, I believe, makes a good defensive play. And then the next burst is just one of those things, you know, they sidestep a tackle. They find a couple offloads. But we hit the offload. It's just that last one. We just ran out of men. If we had that third man in, you know, to hit that last offload, you know, it's funny. We made a great tackle on the first pass. We made a great tackle to the person who got the offload, and it's just that third man, and Fiji's gone.
Right. And unfortunately, I don't think it would have mattered because there were like three or four guys surrounding the eight man ready to take that offload to score the try. But that's, you know, it's something to be said when you talk about the fact our defense was solid enough throughout the game that you only let in one try of that ilk. So I was really proud of the boys for how they played defense. You know, it seems like some folks online were questioning U.S. resolve or U.S. competency or whatnot. And I, in spite of that, I thought they played extremely well. I was very happy. I mean, they answered some of the defensive questions that I had in the last two games. They really did.
You know, and I think it's one of those things, Lair, where what are we looking to accomplish?
Right.
This tournament isn't getting us into qualifying for the World Cup right now, right? It's next year, I believe, right? What do we need to do? Well, blooding Toby Fricker as an American, an Eagle, puts him in contention to be a starter or on the bench for 2027 at a spine position, at a 15 position, right? Let's say him and Chris Mattina are the two guys. Now you have two veterans in those positions, right? And they both can play 10 and they both can play 15. And they both can play wing and center if you really needed them in injury cases, right? But that's settled. Luke Carter, you have at 10. Ruben DeHaas, you have at 9. You have four good fucking hookers you could put in, right? We have great eight men we could put in. Jam has been great. So now you have your entire spine laid out. So what can you do going into 2027? You start bringing in other people.
Right.
We still haven't found real locks yet, right? We got Lung
Yang. No.
Young locks.
Not true locks in the truest sense. Yeah.
And they're not ready right now to play. You know, there's a reason they weren't selected. They're a little too young. They're a little too inexperienced. Another season or two in the MLR is a different story. I'm sure they'll come up for a selection probably next international season, right? But my point being is there's a strategy here. And what do they say in Philadelphia? You got to trust the process, right? Trust the process. So why USA fans don't trust the process, I don't know. But I think my next article might be, are USA rugby fans stupid?
Because no, they're just impatient.
I'm tired of the same old bullshit. I did not expect to beat Fiji. Did you expect to beat Fiji?
No. And as a matter of fact, they exceeded my expectations about the scoreline. I thought it would be 20. Yes. When Rick and I sat down, I really thought it would be 23 or 24 point difference. So that's why I'm saying I was happy with a 19 point difference. I think we were right in that game. Now, just going back to some of your points, I don't know that we're going to see a 31-year-old. I think Fricker's 31. Or Matina in 2027, that would put them a little long in the tooth age-wise, but they will certainly be in the game plan, I would think, for the qualifying, which is next year.
Here's the thing. So even if you have the young 15 coming up, you have them in reserve, right?
Right.
You have one of them in reserve. Right. You have one of them on the squad selection of the 50 guys who are going to go to camp. You know what I mean? So they're practicing with the guy. They're in reserve in case there's a catastrophic injury, you know. But now you have two really solid options at 15 to back up a younger 15 to see what's going to go on. It is my point. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily that they're going to go there and start. But my point is, you now have these options.
Right. And by the way, let me just say this: having had some of the conversations online about the very thing that you're talking about, what is the process? That's the big question. And again, I think a lot of the American public is tired of the same old song and dance. Like, when is the United States going to get better? And up until this time, I understand their frustration. But now it's time. Now that we know the plan, there is a plan, folks. It's been laid out. Project Gemini has been laid out. Project Mercury has been laid out, all in anticipation of getting to that moonshot, which is 2031. I think we need to trust the process. And to be quite honest with you, that will be a forecasted blog from the Rugby Rant. Is what is the process and how do each of these iterations that we're seeing in Scott Lawrence's teams from last January to right now and to maybe what we're going to see in November, how do they fit into that process that we should be putting trust in? Because it is there. He's got a plan. I just don't think he's been very transparent with it. I just don't think that's the way he works. You know, he gives an idea of what the, you know, generally what the plan is, but, you know, as far as putting out there who is going to be where and why, that's not really Scott's modus operandi. And it doesn't necessarily need to be, but maybe Scott and I will pick it apart here in a future blog. Huh?
Well, here's the thing too, you know, it's not the expectation, right? No head coach GM combo has ever really done that publicly. I'm sure,
right.
You know, these are things that come up.
Well, it's always win now.
Yeah. But it's also, I'm sure these things come up, inside USA Rugby, right? When they're talking about things like that. But it's never been a something that's talked about publicly. Now, there's something to be said about public opinion, though, right, Rob? And
sure,
my point is, if you just kind of leaked out a little bit and had a little more out there about the selection, even on this, hey, this is why we selected. We were going with more of a kick chase theme and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm not saying to lay out a game plan before it happens, but, you know, and Scott kind of talked about Luke Carty not being available. They already knew. So they were, you know, working around him with the game plan, but like be a little more in depth and kind of educate the fans and not kind of leave them hanging, because as much as, you know, we kick it around with a great think tank of rugby guys, right. And guys who some are in the know more than others, it still doesn't validate that we were right. So we don't want to say something.
Right.
And put our stamp on it. Like, that's why I kind of made the caveat when we first started talking about this topic about, you know, what we thought the game plan was. We don't know that was the game plan.
We don't know for sure. It's not like any of us Fed sat down and had a conversation with Scott Lawrence, nor does he owe us that. But it would be, you know, I think the difference that we see between niche sports like rugby and some of the more common sports that are very popularized in America, like the NFL, like the NBA, MLB, et cetera, is that, you know, and I noticed this in the MLB, you know, the White Sox, because it's, you know, Chicago and they have, that's, I listen to the sports station, they have a pregame interview with the skipper and they have a postgame interview with the skipper every game. Right. And so we're used to that style. We're used to hearing, you know, press conferences after games, which there's tons of media that are covering each of these teams. And that's, there's a vacuum there. And so with a vacuum, there's no incentive for coaches to put something out there to be consumed by the rugby, you know, fan public.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, with sports like hockey and football, there's so much data that's public, right? So you could see, you know, through how a guy has played throughout his career or through college and then goes to the NFL and you say, okay, well, they're going to run a spread offense for this quarterback. You know what I mean?
It's, right.
You know.
The body of work, right?
Yeah, in hockey. Okay, this guy is a grinder. He's going to be on the third line and play X amount of minutes. Okay, he's starting the game. You know, they're trying to do something in the corners versus starting your first line and saying, okay, we're going to play some pretty hockey right now. You know? And, well, again, we know the nuance of the sport of rugby. We just want that confirmation of, hey, this is exactly what was going on at the time. Yeah. And again, it's not owed to us, but I think in the, like you said, in the way we're professionalizing the sport and considering that rugby is played internationally year round versus having, like, you know, the Olympics every 4 years for hockey or even the national championships, you know, we're really doing U23s, U20s, unless it's the Olympics for USA Hockey. You know what I mean? Everybody else is playing them pros. So maybe we should be having the conversation of what can we do to kind of bridge a balance, you know, bridge the gap and have a balance of being a little more transparent after a match about what went on. And don't make Scott the voice of it. Make a spokesperson the voice of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Kudos to Calder Cahill for all that he does because he's a busy man and wears a lot of hats. But that's perhaps the biggest difference is they don't have – I mean, the person that's dedicated to doing something like that is pretty overworked to begin with, but it would be nice, certainly. And I suppose if we put more pressure on organizations with the requirement that we would like to see and be the media that's present, perhaps, you know, we would get more response. I mean, after all, I went to the US-Romania match and I was the lone press that was represented up there in the press box. I don't know. I think your experience is a little bit different over there in Washington, D.C., in the Scotland match. But, you know, of course, Scotland is higher ranked and therefore probably got the lion's share of
attention. Yeah, but also you were on 4th of July weekend, which is just insane, but that's a whole other issue.
Yeah. So let's get back to the match itself. Sure. What did you see? What were some other areas where you thought the United States took a step forward or showed, you know, a position of strength?
Well, I felt like when the replacements came in and Fiji was back at full strength after the yellow card, which I think they got at 55 minutes. And right when they came back, that's when they put in and put in their fresh legs. I felt like the Eagles on offense were starting to play better. I believe we won a scrum. I want to say like 67 minutes. And then I forgot what happened, but we ended up having a throw in on a line out and Pifaletti, I think, was the one who got stopped right before the try line. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember why the ball went out for us to get the butcher call, but it is what it is. But, you know, I felt like in those pressure situations where we're down at that point, you know, a bunch, and this is a place where we're going to kind of try and get it back. Those lineouts haven't been there, right? Those the execution of those lineouts haven't been there. and we executed well, and we just got stopped by a tough physical Fijian team, right? So that's what it is. My point is we actually executed the play we were supposed to execute that.
Yeah.
And we don't do that, you know?
Right. And I felt like we missed some opportunities there with the line out close to, you know, inside the 10. Mm-hmm. I was really disappointed in our scrum early on, first 35 minutes. It wasn't until we saw Pono Davis come on at about 35 and then later on Pifiletti come on. Mm-hmm. The two of them were really strong in the scrum. And if Davis can stay healthy, I think he's a prop of the future that really could be a difference maker in batting down our scrum. Mm-hmm. But once they were in, things stabilized for us and I was on much better footing, I just think our scrum was poor early on. They put us under immense pressure and really struggled a number of times. I mean, I counted, you know, as I looked, I think I counted, we lost five scrums.
Technically, according to USA Rugby statistics, we lost one scrum. 10 scrums
of our own. Of our own. How many scrum penalties did we get?
It doesn't give scrum penalties. Okay. Doesn't give scrum penalties.
Yeah.
Because we lost, we had 11 scrums. We won 10. We lost one, 90%
of our own.
That's great.
And they put us under pressure in the second half.
But it says the Haas was in their
faction a little bit sooner to get it out.
USAR says out of 7 scrums won, we lost five. To Fiji, you know, Fiji won 5 of their 6.
I'd be interested in the scrum penalties because I think they had a number of those.
Jake Turnbull had to come in for Jack Izakaro at some point?
Izakaro, I think, went in an HIA. Turnbull came in, and then Izakaro came back, and then Turnbull came back out later on.
I think it was like a good 10 minutes. He was out, you know, getting looked at, which again, you know, we're not. That's what should happen. It works the way it was supposed to work. Yeah. My question would be, and then I have a follow-up. How hard do you think it is for Turnbull to go in at, like, it would happen at like the 18th or 19th minute, play those 10 minutes, and then, you know, jump out, right?
Really hard.
And then Jack to come back in. So you think the synergy was off because of that change? You know what I mean?
I think it impacts. I think it's difficult. Like if you talk to Jake, I think Jake would.
Oh, listen, I'm not saying it's like
would downplay
that
a little bit, but I think it's harder. I believe it's harder than you think.
But you warmed up a certain way.
I've never played prop.
You've trained, you know.
Yeah, but you know that
with the front three, it's that
it's a mindset, right? It's a mindset. When you know, hey, I'm going to be coming on. Coach is going to be looking for me to come on at, you know, 55, 60 minutes or whatever time usually they've set forth when they want to come in. We know when we look at the spring box at that, you know, that bomb squad is set to come in at a certain time. You have your mentality is kind of tuned into that. You recognize, yes, there's a possibility that injury will cause me to come in sooner, but there's still, I think it's hard to turn that switch on at a time you don't expect to. And it's one of the reasons why I think when you see in the MLR that a lot of subs are warming up early in the game to keep themselves ready and fresh should they have to come on because of an injury.
You know, and then we all wanted Sean McNulty to have his first start here. But maybe we should have questioned the physicality of the front row. He's a little bit smaller than some of the other hookers we had selected in this particular match. You know, and maybe that's part of things we saw. Paul Mullen obviously got pulled in, you know, in 35 minutes. Is it an injury? Is it the humidity? You know, who really knows? But I think, you know,
he drank too much sake at the sumo matches that those props attended in Japan.
Listen, you got to look. Green Bay Packers center was puking all over the ball. So, you know, I've been there as a lineman in football puking everywhere. But seriously, like, I think our scrum woes in the first half is an anomaly, because how many times do we, you know, we're starting a newer guy on the Eagles, a little bit undersized, you know, one of our props goes out for an HIA for 12 minutes. Another prop has to be taken out 35 minutes into the match. Like, I just think it was an anomaly.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how we go on this next weekend. What I do know is their Hunter got yellow carded, so they kind of had to deal with a little bit of the same thing in the sense that they had to have somebody come in when the time didn't necessarily necessitate it. That being said, I'd like to see this group of guys perhaps do a bit more playing together to develop that continuity in the front row. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to look to see, well, Turnbull's got a lot of minutes in the last 5 to 7 internationals. A guy like Dylan Fawcett played a huge role in those July internationals and yet, was not available for selection here. So, working with different props, Pifoletti hasn't always been available, can make it rather difficult. So, perhaps availability, consistent availability for some of these guys has made it difficult to create that synergy in the front row. Let me ask you this. Why was it difficult for us to get any attacking platform to make meaningful meters in this game? It seemed like Nate was the only guy that could really threaten from the backs. He had a couple of good runs. He had a knock on when he was given an offload.
Well, the Fijians,
just unfortunate.
The Fijians are great one and done tacklers. And I think we didn't have enough wiggle. We didn't have enough creativity in the back to stop them from doing what they do. And one thing I do notice sometimes is we're getting the ball out to that back line and it's not a flat pass. It's a deep pass that can't happen against a team like the Fijians. And again, this goes back to like when I question sometimes what guys are thinking during the match and rugby IQ, because after that happens the first couple times, how are you guys not getting together to kind of cop that out to say, take your running start and get some friggin' momentum, because being flat footed against a team that is more physical than you and more agile than you, you're just losing meters.
Right. Did you notice too, one of those really nice runs that Nate made was an inside ball.
Yes.
From Matina that mm-hmm. kind of wasn't expected. So, the ball had been coming out a little bit more with a bit of frequency to the edges in those 15 meter channels. And then that one time where it was expected to go out there, it was an inside pass back in an eight. He really made some meaningful meters in that attacking structure. So perhaps being a little bit more dynamic, both from the inside and outside pass, keeps that defense guessing a bit and keeps that defense from coming up with too much pressure. And maybe that's the other thing where Matino's a really, really smart player. I like him at the 15 position. He has a good boot, but Cardi is a little bit more cheeky with his, for his kick from hand. And that's where I think we miss that skill set a little bit. Like I said, I think Matino's a very good 15. I like him.
Matino's more of a booming kicker.
Yeah.
Where you can have a good kick chase to counter that and meters that you're kicking into.
Right.
Versus Cardi can do a little more can be a little more creative with his grubber. He has a little more vision for 50-22s, up and unders. But here's the thing I'm gonna ask, and it's you can call me stupid, you could say I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, whatever.
Okay.
You have a guy in Dylan Fawcett who has led the MLR 2 years in a row in 50-22 kicks. No, I'm serious.
Come on.
Dude, my point being, we're getting the ball out, and we have a lack of creativity at a certain point. For whatever reason, and I know it's a funny thing, forwards kick, but you have athletic hookers who can kick, right? They're using their foot to hook the ball. You have flankers who can kick. I'm not asking a lock to kick like a giraffe, but at certain points getting the ball out and looking up and saying, I can run in and get the next phase, which hasn't stopped, it hasn't helped us, right? Or we do have an opportunity for a 50-22 grubber right here. Why don't they practice that? But Rob, you're laughing. But yes, this is the evolution of the sport. as the players are more athletic, and they're not just beer drinking props, KFC eating front rows. What's the next evolution of the sport? Having guys that are up front that can have a little bit of a foot. I'm not saying you do this every friggin' match or every 10 minutes, but my point is, what we need, because what's happening right now, if we want to run like the Springboks, we're going to lose, right? If we're going to run like the Fijians, we're going to lose.
I think we saw a guy like Keith Wood back in the day. So we can't say that it's an evolution. Keith Wood really set a standard for hookers, and that somebody had the mobility, had some of the ball in hand, some of that versatility and skill set, aside from just being a strong scrummager, to do a lot of different things with the ball. And we often saw Woody kick that grubber kick through and that chase through, but that's about it. I don't think we see them go, you know, we don't see too many of them going for 50-22s. Dylan just happens to have a pretty strong skill set for the MLR and is able to get away with it. And he's probably had enough credibility with his coaching staff that he's played both in New York and here in Chicago that he can get away with it with them as well. I don't know. But
the question is, we're not doing anything differently, Rob.
Well, one thing I would like to see us do that it seems and the last match really showed the difference. Japan really had a really nice layered attack. It always seems they set up those layered pods, and we saw the ball occasionally pop out from forward. So it created that dynamic, that dynamic pressure where, occasionally those forwards would take the ball up. So that it kept the opposition honest. And then sometimes they would bring that ball up and then they would pop it out to the back, to the fly half or to the center running around, popping around that pod and then getting the ball out. And so that's why they had that extra attacking one or two players out on the wing, because they forced our defense to stay with those forwards in that forward pod. And then they had the skill from ball in hand to get that ball out. That's where I think I would like to see an evolution come from, that I'm still waiting to see. But in my mind, I think Scott's working on some other components. And I think we, to some degree, may have seen that, and that the strategy was a little bit different this match compared to that of Japan, because it was a different – I'm not saying you'd always play to the style of your opposition, but certainly you play to your strengths and you look to expose their weaknesses.
Here's the thing. When your strengths aren't that strong and you keep trying to say there are strengths, something needs to change.
Well, okay. So develop.
Am I wrong? Hold on. Am I wrong that they want to keep doing the rolling ball?
You mean the United States?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that it's something that is still a work in progress for us. It's something that we need to get better at. We showed some ability to do that against Japan. I think that there were also some opportunities that were lost there. I think it's an area of growth that we need to keep working on, as is our kick chase. You notice, I think our defense is coming along. We're getting better pressure at the middle of the line of our opposition. I think that's why we're able to stymie Fiji's ability to get that ball through the hands a little bit, because they were looking to attempt to throw a pass out wide. We had a player coming up hard to get in the middle of that passing line. If I'm not mistaken, Mooneyham might have been one of those individuals that got both of his hands on a ball like that. So, I think we're developing some parts of our game,
but at a certain point, we can't be throwing the same strategy out when it's not working, right? So if you look at Romania, you look at the Scotland matches, our rolling ball didn't work. It got stuffed a lot, right? And there was no change on the field in that strategy. So my point being, what needs to be communicated at halftime or prior to the match to say, hey, if we do three rolling balls in the first 20 minutes and they all get stuffed, don't run that play again. Have a creative play to run.
Yeah.
Because you kept them honest. You kept them honest by doing what you were doing.
Right.
But it's not working.
Yeah.
Right. So
what creativity can
you do to change it?
Right. And that's where I would go. I would like to see more creativity close to the line in our lineout where, we're setting up a peel play. We're setting up perhaps that we've seen some international teams do that mechanism where they have, a full 8-man lineout. The ball goes to, they fake to the back pod and go to the front pod or vice versa. And then as those two pods separate, they create some space in the middle. The team, the opposition goes to those two pods expecting there to be a rolling maul there. And then we've got the one of those pods that gets the ball, popping that ball up to somebody who's coming through that center channel, exposing the gap. So I'd like to see us be a bit more creative in the lineout, when the rolling maul is expected. Because not many teams close to the line are challenging the ball in the air. They're mostly preparing for that rolling maul by staying grounded.
And I'm not saying we have to be super duper creative across the board.
Yeah.
But we have to have enough creativity to pick our spots to say this strategy is not working. We've kept them honest with three rolling mauls rule. We used to have play number five. I was the prop. I'd step into the channel with my hand and I'd get the ball and run down the short side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you're just built different. You're just built different.
my point is that again, we wouldn't run it every match. It was again, were we getting stuffed? Was
situational.
Let's run this. It was situational. Same thing with a 50-22 from a forward. It's situational.
Right.
So if you have a forward that has an exceptionally good grubber kick, I'm not advocating you put in Dylan Fawcett all the time. But what I'm saying is think about it. Because that's something that can change your field possession right now. Because now it's your lineout. And now you've demoralized them by having somebody who's not supposed to be kicking that well make a great kick. And then you're getting the ball back.
Dylan's an exception, not the rule. And that's why I think it's difficult. Because he wasn't even available for selection over the course of this August. But
because they're not even trying it. Because they're not trying it.
So I guess my frustration is more at the fact that we had Fiji had gotten two yellow cards. So we had two opportunities where we were playing a man up for a total of 20 minutes throughout the course of that game. And we weren't able to put any points in the board in those during those periods. In fact, Fiji scored a try mm-hmm. during one of those periods. And so
yeah, that for me scored. Is a little
– what's that?
Lomani scored,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. So that was part of my frustration. I would have expected or hoped that given the odd man advantage, we get close to line, we kick close to line, and we can rely upon that rolling maul with one of their forwards out to be able mm-hmm. to, you know, push that ball over the line. But that was a frustration. That being said, like I said earlier, I really thought that they played a pretty solid game, and it was 10-3 at half. And we were playing pretty well, and we had good, solid defense. So I was pretty happy overall with how the
Bulls another game we beat the spread on. Another game we beat yep. the spread on. So yep. now we're coming up yep. against a Tongan team from yep. the Bronze. We got to wait to see what we're going to have for a selection. I believe Luke Carty's back. It's going to be interesting. I think it's a match we can win.
What did Japan beat Tonga by? It was. Like 55-24 or something of that nature. It was,
yeah, because I think Tonga scored late, also to kind of bring it closer. Give me a second.
I should have written it down.
49-27. 49-27.
Okay. So really not too different from the scoreline between the United States exactly. And Japan.
Exactly. And Tonga beat Canada 30-17.
Right.
So it
should be a really competitive match, and we can expect the scoreline to be pretty close. What are you thinking? Is the U.S. going to get one here and win the bronze and bring home a victory, having lost what, two games?
Yeah, that's definitely a win. I think that's mission success if we come home and win the match. If it's really tight and it just comes down to a penalty kick at the end and we lose, so be it. But if we win, I think it's mission success, and it was mission critical that we get that success.
Right. I just, like I said, I'd like to see us continue to play the same type of defense. I think we're capable of playing solid defense, especially in the loose play. I'd like to see us play more of an expansive game on the offensive side, certainly have more opportunities than we did against Fiji. And I think we will against Tonga. They're not quite as – I think they're a lot more susceptible to clean breaks, and I think they're not going to be as organized defensively as Fiji was, or certainly as Japan was. So I'd expect us to be able to put some points up against them. But I'm saying the spread is going to be three, U.S. by three for me.
I'll take that. I'll take USA Eagles -3. And on a quick note, one of the ARs was Holly Davidson, Scotland's Holly Davidson.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Future, star in the upcoming star in the referee officiating world for rugby.
For sure. So Scott, why don't you quickly just touch base before we head out of here, touch base with everybody about the blog. I know it was something you're passionate about.
Yes.
So, talked about the end of the MLR season. It's something that we've getting some great contributions from. What can people expect on the blog as they turn their attention towards what? RugbyRant.com?
TheRugbyRant.com. Mm-hmm. Obviously, me and Hammer are bloggers. We also have our boy, the Jackal King, Rick Collins. We have Pierce LeBond, who is a fan. And has, come to us and said he wanted to start writing. Yeah, he has great opinions. We have Adam Hughes. He wrote a book on rugby. His first blog has just dropped. We have a couple females who are coming on to write for us. We have a couple more dudes that are coming on to write for us. If you would like to write for us, hit us up on social media or, check it, hit us up through email. But what we have coming out now is we've been doing our Rugby 101 series. It's just a rugby basics. We're not trying to make it a deep dive into everything. Make people go crazy. So we're putting out these pieces of Rugby 101. After the Rugby 101 series, we're going to be putting out a Rugby 101 position series. And then that should lead us into the new year where we're talking about Rugby 102, which is going to be more in-depth on those Rugby 101 subjects. So if you want somebody to learn more about rugby, send them over to therugbyrant.com. You'll see it in the right-hand corner, are you new to rugby? Click that. You're going to go to Rugby 101 and start reading some of the articles. Again, they're just telling you very basic information. Let's see. We did a basic overall about the game was the first article. Then we did a basic about the scrums. And then we just had a basic come out about the lineouts. Those will be coming out every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern. So please check it out. Go to the website. Read the articles. Leave some feedback. Share the articles. I had an article last week about why the MLR should be promoting individual players. And I post my articles on my personal LinkedIn, and I had 17 players reach out to me and say that the article was a good article. So people are reading it. People who I didn't think would even look at it are reading it. So it's good content. Please check it out.
So we should have some great new content coming out, so check it out. And if you're, again, if you fancy yourself a bit of an author with a strong opinion, shoot us a line and let us know, because we'd be happy to have more authors like yourselves out there. Because, of course, we're trying to grow the game one fan at a time. And part of that is engaging fans and giving them a voice.
Exactly. And speaking of a voice, mine's almost gone. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. Episode 186 is done and dusted. We'll see you at the
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.